Okay, good evening. Our bite time, we're on Pei Aleph. I'm an Aleph. And we are at the second line in the Gemara. Pei Aleph 81A1. Rabbi Yosef b'shem Rav Chiya Barashi, Rabbi Yonah Rav Chiya Barashi, Barashi b'shem Rav. They said these things over. They said, until it's your time, we're true about a pair. The question, of course, is how far do you have to wash your hands on a parak? So we're going to translate now that on a parak means the entire hand until the wrist. There's going to be other shittas later on, you'll see. But right now, this is the top, this is the top, the ikar perish. Ulechulin ad kishrayetz ba'isav, and you have to wash to your knuckles at the end of the fingers for chulin. Miyosha Barbara Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omar Man Dahava Ochal Im Sabi. Miyosha, who was the grandson of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, said that whenever I ate with my grandfather, with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Fulomashatav Yonai Al Perak, and if he did not wash his hands until the wrist, then Lava Ochal mean that he would not eat with him. In other words, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi holds no distinction between Truma or Chulin. You always have to wash the entire hand. So that's the two opinions we have here. In Shulchan Aruch, go right to the Shulchan Aruch now, before we even go any further. And it says in Shulchan Aruch, in Simen, Kuf Samach Aleph, okay, which is called, the name of the Simen is Din Chatzitza Ben Atila, Uvo Dalat Seifim. Even though we're not talking about Chatzitza here, we're talking about the Shear. But Sif Dalat is about the Shear, Sif Dalat. Shear Natilas Yadayim, Kol Hayad Ad HaKona Shal Zrayim. The first sheet of the Mechaber writes is like Rabbi Shlomo Levi, whole hand up until the wrist. Yeah? V'yei Shomrim, there's those who say, remember, whenever the Mechaber says Yei Shomrim, the Iker Shita is the first sheet, not Yei Shomrim, right? That's Kol Hapsak. V'yei Shomrim Ad Motom Chibur Ha'etzbos L'Kaf Hayad, where the fingers are attached to the hand, meaning the knuckles. For Roy Lino Kadaseration, it's proper to be knowing like the first sheet. Does he hear the Machaber telling you? But the Evan, if you don't have enough water, or what if you the Evan you did it that way, you yotze. Okay, so that's why on Yom Kippur and on Tisha B'Av we only do to the knuckles. Because it's a massive with the Evan. Because after all, Rambam holds you don't wash your hands at all on Yom Kippur or Tisha B'Av. And we're not knowing to be like other Paiskim, so therefore we're Makel. No, that's it. That's the whole thing. That's it. Okay. Yeah, the Magen Avraham just says that if you are going to be knowing like the first Shita, you should make a condition when you first do it. Shalot Yasna Batfila, Shalot Yehei Choyva Olav, Shema Pramach, Shalot Yehei Logmayim. It shouldn't become like a netter, make a t'nai, that it's not going to be that way forever. It's not a netter, you know. Okay, next, let's go on. So the ikadei is like Rav Shulman. Okay, Rav Huna Amar. Ein until Shidayim El Pas Pavat. You only wash until Shidayim for bread. No other case where you have to wash until Shidayim. Tony Rav Hashia says, no, Kodor Shishwa Luchuk Mashke. Anything which has some kind of liquid on it, which we are familiar with the topic. We're familiar with the terminology a little different. It's Dabar Sheti Bulo B'Mashka is what we commonly know this as. The Yishami says, Kol Dabar Sheish B'Lichlok Mashka. So that means that if you take any of the Shiva Mashkim and you make a fruit or anything wet in it, you have to wash until some time. The halacha is, in Shulchan Aruch, it says that you should wash without a bracha. The Magen Avraham says that the velt's knowing not to be makbid on Dabar Sheti Bulo B'Mashka to wash. I one time washed. I didn't know any better because when I grew up in yeshiva, I learned Hilchos Tilos Yadayim with Mechav Rusa. And we were just reading the text. We didn't know any chachmas. And then I went ahead and I once in front of my uncle Shmuel, I went ahead and I washed for an apple with water on it. What are you doing? Don't you know that the velt's not machmir on that? What are you going to be? A ben Torah shouldn't be machmir. He got all upset at me. I didn't realize that the velt was not. Okay. On Pesach, if you take a look at the Kol Doidi Haggadah from Rav Dov Feinstein, that's all. You will see in the notes there, he writes, the whole year we're not makbid on this, so why tonight are we being makbid on it? And he writes, Kadesh Yishlo had to know this. That's what he writes. Other people have more of a Musadiga approach to it, that we're on such high madrega on a Pesach night that you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Next. Rav Zeira Amar, Afilu Makatzis to Muslim Havanato. He has a very strange shita that makatzets tormusin. What's that? That's chewing lupine beads, which seems to be it's not even a double shot to of a mashka. It seems to be dry, right?
Certainly not what it
should mean. I didn't say anything about Shiva Minim. No one said anything about Shiva Minim, did we?
Well, when we're talking about liquid. We're talking about seven liquids.
Yeah, that's no problem. So let's see here. Does he say anything over here in footnote 6? Yeah, even if they're dry, he says we have to wash even if it's dry. Anyway, right, it's clear that Rav Zeira is referring to dry lupines, for otherwise he would not be saying anything more than the previous ruling or pushing out. That's correct. Okay, so this is a very strange one. I'm not really getting why he's washing his hands for it or whatever. Just to be extra hygienic way of eating. Okay, very good. Rav Amar, let's go. Not to Yarav Shachar, so of course he washes his hands in the morning. You don't have to trouble him to wash again in the afternoon. In other words, If you make a condition that you're going to be careful, you're going to be vigilant to make sure your hands don't touch a makam matunaf in the interim. So then, if you were shomer, you're dying the whole day, so you don't have to wash again. Okay.
You're talking about the food, right?
Yeah.
So would this be a good idea for a trip? If you wear gloves, you wash at home. You can wear gloves, go dry.
You're saying you're going to wear the gloves as an act of shmira. That's an interesting idea. Yeah, I guess that would work. Yeah, I mean, yeah, what I do is I bring along a bottle of water with me. It's a lot easier. remember, by the way, people don't realize you can't use a plastic bottle to wash tilsanayim out of. Even though the it's narrower at the top, you can pour that onto your hands. It's 100% kosher from tilsanayim. Doesn't have to come pouring out like out of a washing cup. It's fine. Okay, next. Rav Avinu Mefaked Lechamore. So he used to instruct his donkey drivers. Honda to Mashak Mashkechin Mistachon. Wherever you find water for washing, Nosmi Yudecha, wash your hands. Masi Al Koyuma, make a condition for the whole day. Because, you know, obviously when you're on the donkey path, it won't be possible to necessarily stop, or it won't be water shkiach along the way. So take advantage when you get a chance. That was his advice, right? Mm-hmm. Let's see. It says here, in footnote 9, there's a Rashba over here. He asks, if you're washing hands in the morning and you're careful not to divert attention from them, why is any special stipulation necessary? Seemingly, his hands should be considered properly washed in any event. Why do you have to have a condition? That's the idea. That's the question. So the Rashba infers from this, the washing even for chulin requires kavanah. And so washing your hands for bread is valid only when you performed with the intent that it render the hands tar for eating. However, many Rishonim disagree with the Rashba. The Ra'ah explains that although Tosfot per se does not need specific intent in order to be effective, the Chachamim required a stipulation in the case of one who washes his hands for the entire day, to ensure he will indeed be careful to guard his hands properly. But it's not that you need it to be effective for eating. Okay, so in other words, they're saying you don't need for a specific kavana. Now, if you recall, I just want to recall your attention to that story we had earlier in the Gemara. We had the people who were guests would come into the outer room waiting for all the guests to gather. And they would serve them a cup of wine. And the Gemara said, remember, that they washed one hand. Remember the mark? They washed one hand to hold the cup of wine. Then it says, after all the guests had gathered and they opened up the main dining hall, everybody piles in, and then they brought them bread, and says that they washed both hands, even the hand that they had washed previously for the wine. And we spoke out then, I don't know if you remember, we spoke out because that tequila that you did for the one cup cannot be olef for the lechem because it's a different sug of the tefillah sedayim. One is the kiyus or whatever. One is a chov gomer, and so the netilah of one would not work for the other. Here you're seeing these rishonim are, I don't know, it's a little funny over here. Seems to be that they're arguing about this point that we made the observation for over there. In other words, do you need a specific kavanah for bread? According to the Rash, well, that works out very well. But according to the Ro'ah, it's not so posh. I'm just raising it as a ha'ara for. Maskim, I think people maskim to this horror that it makes sense what I'm saying. Okay, next. Reb Ze'era slaked the Gabi Reb Avu in the casement. Reb Ze'era went up to Caesarea. Caesarea, I don't know what's with Caesarea. It says over here that Reb Ze'era was once deathly ill. Reb Avu accepted upon himself that if Reb Ze'era would recover, he would make a Avina Tuva Yom L'Rabbanan, right? He'd make a Yom Tov. In the end, he recovers. So the Gemara explains what happened at that Sudas Hodah that Reb Avu served in his home in Caesarea. So that's why we keep seeing this Caesarean meal keep being mentioned again and again. It must have been quite a Suda, right? Okay. Ashkei Amar Nezel Amechel. So Reb Avu found him. He said, let's go eat a meal together. Yavla Yigula V'Katsi. Beginning of the meal, he gave Reb Ze'era a round loaf that he should cut that loaf from a lace of the brick. So he told him, again, this is, you know, keep in mind who's talking to whom. Reb Ze'era is going to visit Reb Avuhu. Let's see. So Reb Avuhu is the Baal Bas, right? He's the Baal Bas. Reb Ze'era is the visitor. So who's giving who the bread? One second, Reb Avu is saying he's giving Reb Ze'era, he's giving the visitor, right? The Baal Bas is giving the visitor the bread to cut off, to make a cut. So, right? Mm-hmm. So Amar Leih, so Reb Ze'era says to him, what do you mean? Baal Bayis Yodea Kochol Shel Kikaro, right? Baal Bayis knows the loaf's potential, means he knows how to distribute the bread. He knows how many people there are, how thickly you should slice each slice so you have enough bread. Joey, what are you shaking your head for? Makes no sense. Joey would like to. I'm going to give him a paper. Maybe he knows. You know how much bread. In other words, you know how much bread you have in the house.
I see a piece of bread here. Now I know how much of bread. But the guy next to me, he doesn't know how much bread is there, right?
In the kitchen. Joy, hold on a second. Last week I ate at your house. I did not know if Bonnie had additional challah in the kitchen or not. You knew. So that's why you did the challah cutting. Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. Joey's having a real hard time with this one. Okay, fine. Anyway, the Gemara seems to feel that the Baal Bais knows. Okay. Shush. Very good. That's what it means. So when it says you Baal Bais Yodea Kochol Shel Kikaro, it doesn't mean what I said. So he'll be more generous than the guest. So that's what it means. Okay, so maybe I'm not translating it right. It's very possible. Let's see over here. What do we have here? Anything over here? Let's see. Plain Moshe says, "Baal Bayis Yodea Kochol Shel Kikaro Klomer Atahu Baal Bayis For Lecho Livtzoa Min HaKikar Shalach Levar." It's just an expression. According to Plain Moshe, he's just saying, "You're the Baal Bayis. You're the one that should be cutting." Okay. Anything else here? Haredim says, "He does it for Tzvayin Yofet." Right. Okay. So fine, that's the first thing. Now, after they ate, Minda Achlan, after they ate, Omalei Sabrech. So now again, Rabbi Abu is going to make another attempt to mechabit the guest. He says, do me a favor and take the cup of wine and bench for us. Omalei Sarab Zeir again defers to the Baal Bayis. Chochem Rebbe, the Rav Huna, Anosha Rabba. You certainly recognize the greatness of Rav Huna, who was a great man. And I'm going to tell you, because I guess Rav Zeir was a Talmud of Rav Huna, that Rav Huna would say that the one who begins the meal with the hamotzi, he's the one that should finish the meal with the breakfast hamazon. That's so therefore he's getting out. This is a way of wiggling out of any trouble, right? Okay. Next. That's of course. Yeah, there's nothing mentioned here over here. And we don't pass like this all together. We said that the Orach Mavarach, so Hobi Mavarach, the Baal Bayis, Ba'ayin Yafin. Masisa Pliga Al Rav Huna. There's a Bryce in the contradiction of Huna Dutoni. The Bryce says the following. Okay, Seder until Shadayim. So now we're talking about the order, meaning when we say order here, we mean if we have many people who are eating the meal, so who washes first? Do we have the Baal Bayis wash first, or does he wash last? What's the story here? So here's what the Braisa gives as instructions. Ad chamisho, if there are up to five people who are attending, then maskil and min ha-godol. Then the one who is the godol habayis, let's say, or the biggest tamachacham, whatever godol means, should start the washing. He should wash first. You also mean, if there's more than five people, the masculine and cotton, you start from the youngest, the least prominent. And the reason behind this is because it's not covered for the gadol, if he were to wash first, to have to wait for everyone else. He'll be sitting there at the table waiting and waiting and waiting. It's not covered for the older, for the gadol to be waiting so long. So let's see. Does he say anything else here? If there's five people or less, the most prominent person washes first because it will not take that long for the others to wash. All right. Unless they're talking, yeah. Yeah, very good. So then it says, Be'em Sahamazin. Now in the middle of the meal, who washes first? Now, obviously, what are you washing in the middle of the meal for? No, that's the end of the meal, the middle of the meal. Why would you be washing in the middle of the meal? For cleanliness, because you want to, or maybe you ate the fish with your hands and you want to wash your hands off between the fish and the meat. Whatever the pshat is, that sometimes people wash their hands in the middle of the meal. So then, masculine when I go, you always start from the goal because there won't be any waiting for him. As soon as he finishes washing, he can start eating again, right? Well, Akram wasn't there. What about the end? My machronim. Masculine min hamivarev. Then you start from whoever's going to be benching. He's the one that will wash my machronim first. Right, it does not apply there. Well, if it does, it's not here. Yeah, over here it says 18, even if there are others of higher stature, the one who's chosen to lead breakfast on Mazen is accorded the honor of washing my machronim first. Now the Gemara is going to say why this is so. No, the Gemara says, Lo sheyaskin atzmo la bracha. Isn't the reason why the person who's going to bench has to wash first, my achronim, so that he'll prepare himself for the bracha? So what does it mean he prepares himself for the bracha? It means it gives him a chance to review the recitation of the Brachas HaMazon while the others wash. In other words, you're a little nervous. You want to know. You're going to say, Vei HaSeir, Vei HaRono. What exactly am I going to say? What am I going to say exactly? You know? So you got to give the guy a chance to prepare himself for the bench. So isn't that the reason why the Mavarach washes first, my Mavarach? In Tamar, now we're coming to the question, I think. In Tamar Haposeach Ufosei. Now, if you hold like Rav Huna, we just quoted Rav Huna. Don't you know from Huna, who's a Gavra Rabba, said this? That what? That you, the person that said Hamotzi is the one that should bench. If that's the case, then the person that made Hamotzi knew from the beginning of the meal he was going to have to bench. Why do we have to give him a chance to prepare to bench by having washed my Machronim first? He knew from the very get-go of the meal that he was going to bench, if Rav Huna is right. Obviously, there's what we call discovery process over here, that the person discovers at the end of the meal that he's going to get the covenant of benching, right? That's the question. Therefore, it's obvious that it's not the same person, or it doesn't have to be the same person, correct? That's the question. In Tamar, from the Sukkot, who he knew already from the beginning of the meal. Why should he have to wash my Machronim first? All right. So this is easily answered. Now we're on 81b, pay off on the base. Easily answered. Amar Yitzchak, Tisor B'Lein Davolin, Kitten. Let's suppose that people slipped into the meal one at a time. So I washed, made a mosi, then you came. So now we're all together and we're in a big group. And now we're going to pick somebody to bench. And so, right, if we all end the meal together, we should bench together. And then there was nobody that was washing for saying hamotzi to emotzi everybody at the beginning of the meal. It's a hechetemsa teretz, right? So therefore, you don't have Rav Huna's hechetemsa. For lo yonim avavarcha, no one knew who was going to be the one to say Rav Hamazon. So therefore, you begin by Rachonim from the one that begins to bench. Okay, it's not the end of the world, this question. And that's the answer. All right. That's correct. There's no proof from here.
And it's not true.
That's correct. And footnote two, he says he wants to in order to miyash the Gemara with Allah. So he says in the brackets, the Gemara appears to be concluding, whenever an individual recites a motzi on behalf of others, he's the one who leads the brackets on Muslim as well. According to Bavli, this is true only when the host is not in attendance. If the host is present, he says hamotzi over the bracha, distributes it generously. One of the guests is given the honor of leading the birch samazon. Okay, so that's the Bavli position. So either this is not like the Bavli, or we're talking about where the host is not present. It happens to be that I thought we were specifically talking about where the host was present, because I thought that was the whole story here. He visited him in his house. Okay.
Does this mean that the
right? So Shamsi's asking, does this mean that the one who is the Baal Bayis should not lead benching? And the answer is a whole year, yes, that is correct. Baal Bayis should not lead the benching. There's one exception. Pesach by the Seder. Pesach by the Seder, the Baal Bayis should absolutely lead the benching. Beishamai says, this is again Helchas Tumah B'Tara over here. There's an assumption here we're going to talk about. Let's translate the Mishnah first. Beishamai says, you dry your hands during the meal. So you wipe your hands with a cloth and, a napkin. But let's say it's a cloth napkin. Okay, fancy balancing, a cloth napkin. Menicha ha-shofar, and you put the cloth napkin on the table. Beisol says, no, ala keses, you can even place the cloth on the cushion where you're reclining.
We're not talking about the first washing now?
No, we're talking about during the meal. No, maybe not. You know what? Maybe we're talking about after the I take that back. Let's assume that we're talking about that you're drying your hands from the Netilas Yadayim as well. Haredim says it?
Yeah.
Yeah, he says, but can I ask you out of a map of Netilas Yadayim? You might rush up, right? Correct. So you're correct. Right. So it is going to be moist. So it is going to be moist. That will help you use it during the meal to help facilitate cleaning your hands further. Correct. Yeah. You know what? Let's do the Haredim inside because he quotes the Rambam over here. Basil Omer Malakam Olah Kassis. You can put it on the what's it? What does he translate that as? The cushion. Nami Shari Lahanifa. You could put it there too. But Tamayam Afrashu Gemara, Aram Perish Makaneach Nagave, means he dry. U Perish Mapa Hiyayiri Hapusala Shofan. That's tablecloth. Kesses Huham with Faber, Shiyoshavalam, Tzemer, Meshiam, and Pishtim. That's some kind of a seat cover. Obeshamai Omim, Shematiya Hakasas Tameya. Beshamai is worried that maybe the cushion you're sitting on is going to be Tamei. The Nidmu Hamashkan Shabba Mapa. And then what's going to happen is if you put down your moist napkin on the cushion, the Tamei cushion will be Matami, the water on the cloth. Because after all, like we always say, whenever the mash can become tameh, they become a tchila, they go all the way back to the beginning of the tumah. And we drop on it. And therefore, it will be matame your hands and make your hands into a sheni, and it will be matame your hands. Beisol says, what? Shema yahar shulchan tameh. We're afraid that he doesn't want to put it on the table. Maybe that it'll be the time of the eichlan on the table. If you have a table where it is, I guess, if it is possible that things are tummy there, then you can't use such a table. That's the Rambam's lush. Okay, so let's see what the Gemara says. See, is there on footnote 6? Yeah, we're going to see it in a second. Okay, Masnisa, the Gemara says the following. Masnisa b'shulchan shal shayish v'shal prokit. The Mishnah is talking about we have a marble table. Again, a marble table is stone, and a stone table is obviously not makabal tomo. And this or the other possibility is shal prokit, it's made out of pieces. So whenever you have a keli, which is in multiple pieces, the individual pieces are not makabel toma. When you put the pieces together, though, and they form a kli, then l'chora, it should be makabel toma. So that's a little bit of a problem. He deals with that six. It says over here, go down to the bottom of numbers of the first column of six. He says a seemingly difficulty here is that the Tosefta explicitly says that a utensil made of detachable parts is capable of contracting tomo when it's assembled. Why does the Gemara imply that it cannot? One possible answer is the parts are only loosely fitted together, as you said. Okay. That's something to understand over here. Anything else you want to say here? Yeah. On the bottom, he deals with the problem, which I was thinking about, which is Beis Hillel allowing both the table and the cushion, or is he specifically saying only on the cushion, not on the table? So according to Bavli, first, according to the way the Haredim, we are assuming that Beis Hillel was allowing you to do it in either place. And Beis Hillel said let me say it again. According to the way we're explaining the case here in the Yerushalmi, Beis Hillel will be saying you can place the cloth either on the table or on the cushion. According to the Bavli in 52b, Beis Hillel means it can be placed only on the cushion and not on the table. Because the table may be tome, the moisture on the cloth will transfer the tome to the food. Okay. So in other words, the Bali does not assume that we're talking a marble table. Okay. And now Beis Shammai says exactly the opposite. The cloth may not be placed on the cushion because it could be tome transferred to the person's hands. But it may be placed on the table because in their opinion, the table at his tummy can't be used in the first place. So there you have the discussion here. It's very similar to what we said before in the previous halacha, where we had the back of the kli was tummy, so we had a discussion. Beis Shammai held, couldn't use such a kli, and they still held you could use such a plate. So there's a similarity here. So they seem to be going lishitosom. Okay. Now let's explain the reason. My time in the Beis Shammai. Why does Beis Shammai say what he says? Why do they say you can't put it on the cushion? You don't want the liquid on the cloth to get tummy from the cushion. Then you're going to can't be tummy your hands. My time with basilo. Whenever you have a suffix, that is to say, you don't know what's the suffix. Your hands, you know, the hands you know are tahar, but the mashkin, you don't know whether they're tummy or not tummy. So whenever you have a suffix, you assume that it's tahar. All right. Right. So let's see 1 second over here. Hold 1 second. So footnote 9. When you dry your hands with a cloth, it's usually unknown whether the cloth is wet enough to be capable of contracting and transmitting tumah. Thus, they argue you don't need to be concerned about the cloth possibly transferring tumah from the cushion to your hands, because there's a rule that since there's a suffix about this, and since it's holding it's not bun, you go with kula. All right. Now, so let's see what it says. The racher ain yodayim lefulin. There's no tumor transmission from hands to foreign foods. Tummy hands are classified as a sheni, and you can't. A sheni is never makes a shlishi by chulin. A sheni only makes a shlishi by truma. So therefore, you can't be matame chulin altogether. So if you eat a meal of chulin, you wash your hands until she dies. So you're not concerned about possibility. Maybe later it'll become tame, because there's no suffix. And you're right. And the Gemara says ubei shamai yeshadayim lechulin. But according to Beis Shammai, is that true that the cloth cannot be placed in the cushion because they're concerned maybe it might transfer tumah from the cushion to the hands? But that's also l'chayra a suffix. And everybody holds a sheni can't be, well, that anyway, not a problem because a sheni can't transfer tumah to chulin. So the Gemara is going to give an answer. Because tiftor okur b'shem b'nolaz or okur b'lazim or b'sadik. Okay, I didn't do this tomorrow yet. So we'll go over this davar acher. We'll go over this again a little bit more tomorrow. But that's the basic layout of this question of tumah for the hands. Not tomorrow. Lightsey Shabbos Mirtz Hashem, as we always do, 7:30 Mirtz Hashem. Kol tovah.